Welcome back, folks. This segment is brought to us by the Game Alert made by Hogman Outdoors and Pyramid Air, which is your one-stop shop for everything air gun related. Well, folks, what do you say? We jump in the old pickup and head up to Lake Texoma. My buddy for the past 35 years, Mr. Bill Carey with Striper Express, is standing by. We're going to talk about catching stripers in the late fall. Bill, thank you for being with us, bud.
Well, good morning, Luke, and all y'all out in radio land.
I bet these folks are, you know, they're chomping at the bit. We had Seth Vanover on earlier. You might have heard him, Bill, but he was talking about catching crappie this time of year. We'll call it late fall fishing. You know, that's kind of what it is. And giving some tips, I thought we do not want to neglect Texoma or striper fishing. You know, honestly, winter and early fall, all through the fall, is one of my favorite times to go to Texoma to catch stripers. For a lot of reasons, basically, because I seem like I always, well, always when I'm with you guys, we always come back with a bunch, you know. So, kind of prime time, isn't it, Bill?
Oh, you bet. Well, you know, that depth finder moves in here that's better than these $2,000 fish finders we have, the seagulls, the birds.
The birds are the key, aren't they? That, and I'm gonna fill in the blank because I've been up there a lot in the winter with you. The birds and binoculars, right?
Yes, sir. That's it. People call me, and they may not even have a trip with us. And it's not any harder to be a nice guy, and I tell them that. I say, look, you need to get you a good pair of binoculars. And the minute you clear the loading ramp, wherever you are, start glassing the birds.
And, you know, in the wintertime, folks, I know a lot of you have been up to Texoma. Probably a lot of you listening have fished with Bill and his team at Striper Express. But, gosh, it's very common now to see not just one, but several flocks of gulls working shad, isn't it, Bill?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. You want to tell the folks what's happening there and how that works? I'll be glad to.
I think that would be good. You know, most of my career has been on reporting and talking to guys like you about patterns, not necessarily the last 30 minutes, but patterns. And, yeah, tell us what you expect in, you know, late fall fishing, how it unfolds, Bill.
Well, folks, here we are, you know, right after Thanksgiving. And, of course, fall fishing has been in swing now for over 30 days, maybe 6 weeks. And what happens is we have thousands and thousands of seagulls migrate and stay here for the winter. And what happens is the stripers are schooling fish, and they'll school all the way up until January and really put you on some fish. The fish are pushing the bait. These are big bait balls of shad to the surface, and the birds have got fantastic eyesight, and they see them, and they come in and they dip that bait, because once that bait gets to the surface, they can run, but they can't hide. That's as far as they can go. And the stripers are there feeding on them. They could be 30 foot thick. And the birds are dipping, so you just pick your birds. When you're going towards them, you get on you can tell which way the school is moving. So you get in front of them, and then we use jigs on them.
You know, it sounds so simple, and in essence it is, but one of the big question marks in the outdoors that I've never actually mastered it, because I've never done it enough to master it. I've been with Chris, with you guys. You have an uncanny ability to determine where that school is running, and not necessarily just the birds. I mean, when they make it, I've been with Chris before, and you too. You know, how to determine the route they're going to take. I guess, who knows, it looks all random to me, but I know it's not. Staying up with the school. Sometimes when you got your boat there, the birds won't be right on them. They'll move off a bit, but determining the direction those rascals are going, that to me, that's kind of semi-art form, you know?
Well, you're right. It's just a good way to, you know, we do this every day, and you learn, and sometimes the schools will split up. Sometimes they'll take a turn depending on what's underneath structure-wise, if there's a creek channel or if there's a big, you know, entrance to a creek or a big hump or a point, and they will take a turn. And that's another thing, too. You fish those birds until they are long gone. you don't have to be on the leading edge of them because this is a huge school. That's a good point, Luke.
Well, it's something I've noticed, you know, for many years. Like I say, the first time I got up there to fish with you guys was, if I'm not mistaken, 35 years ago when the old Striper Express. I remember that well. A lot of our listeners have been up there in the boats with you guys, too.
Betcha.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Well, Bill, let's think. Now, when you're saying that, let's talk a little bit or kind of inform people about the jig.
You betcha. I'll be glad to. What we do, folks, is we cast jigs. First of all, we use bass tackle with 15 to 20-pound test. These are mean, fighting, sassy fish. So just bass tackle, 6-7 foot medium heavy, medium, you know. And you get a half ounce. We don't use any little quarter ounce, 3 ounce, hardly ever, unless we're casting in shallow water. Half ounce, 3/4 to 1 ounce jig heads, and we use 4-inch soft plastics, sassy shad. That's a paddle tail soft plastic. And our favorite colors are chartreuse and white glow. It glows underwater, is a big one. And we've gotten real partial to the Zoom Flukes. They have a paddle tail bait, 5.5 inches, that's just a little bit smaller paddle tail. And sometimes the fish like less vibration. But the jigs is the ticket, and my guides will use slabs in these fish, too. Those are lead spoons. We drop them vertically like we do lots of times during the year. Mm-hmm. But the jigs are primarily, you're in the strike zone more by casting. Your guide will tell you if you need to let it fall or you just start reeling, and the scope of the line will, those fish can be in big schools. So, and I'll tell you what, they'll just about take it out of your hand. You have to really concentrate and set that hook, and the fight is on.
A lot of fishing to me, Bill, is the feel of that fish whacking the bait. You know, I mean, that's always been, I have always said, if you have any adrenaline in your body, that if that won't trigger it, well, you know, you might want to take up golf or something, you know. Not that golf is a bad thing, but, you know.
Nothing better than feeling that fish shake his head and strip that line. And, you know, it's just a hoot. These fish are... Well, I've always said they're the fightingest fish in fresh water, and they will fight you to the finish, all the way to the boat. And I joke that you got to watch it sometimes because they won't bite you like a critter, but they will clamp down on your thumb when you take that hook out, and you'll make you tap dance. They're still ready for a fight.
Oh yeah, and you bet that. Well, they're an ocean fish, you know. They're right. and I think, of course, you catch stripers year round. I mean, there's nothing magic about just winter, but. I think stripers being in the Atlantic and going up into the rivers and all for gazillions of years, I think the turbulent, cold water, it puts them makes them more aggressive, Bill.
I agree, Luke. These fish are voracious feeders. They bite year-round, but, boy, they start putting on weight in the fall. They are more comfortable. They really are, and they will give you a tussle, I'll tell you. It's just a hoot. Fall fishing and December, my goodness, December's turned into our second favorite month of the year.
That's true. I mean, I can remember back years ago where right now, I mean, we have plenty of cold weather right now, cooler weather. But the winters, and I'm no scientist, of course, but I do think the winters are getting more mild, you know.
Oh, you're right.
Yep. Yep.
You're right. No doubt. That's why December's have. It's just an extension of the fall. You know, I tell people, you know, we watch the weather every day, but most of it is fall-like. And I'm telling you, we used to rock on with 15, 20 charters a month, and the word's out, and it's warmer now, and we'll have 70 to 80 every December.
The fun thing about winter fishing to me is, like you say, you're not going to get out there in a gale, you know, or a stiff, norther blowing in. It's just common sense. We all understand that. But you take there's plenty of nice weather, and dress for it. You know, dress for the check the weather closely. You know, it can be predicted if it's going to be 68 or 48. You know, dress right and maybe in layers where you can. If it warms up during the day, which it usually does, you can get out of some of those heavy clothes. But get a good sunny day or a cloudy day when it's not, you know, not a storm blowing in. And it's a good way to break the cabin fever, Bill, you know.
Oh, yes, sir. You know, we just love it. These old stripers are good to eat. Lake Texoma has the best documented natural spawn of freshwater stripers. So, you know, we joke that these fish are here to harvest. They manage this lake just like you do game. And by golly, we're going to send you home with some good table fare.
You better believe it. One of my favorite dishes is, I like stripers any way you can eat them. And I've been up on back east on the seaboard states, way up north, you know, Boston and on it, you know. And stripers are a delicacy. I mean, you go buy a striper dinner up there in a nice restaurant, you know, and it's not cheap, but they're a food. They're a great eating fish. I like to I love them broiled with I like to put some butter and basil and just a little garlic and salt on them and just broil them until they're, you know, until they're done, until they're a little bit crispy on the outside. And stripers, that's a highlight of a trip. And every time I come up there fishing with you, that's the ultimate, that's the icing on the cake for me, Bill.
You know, it is, Luke. We're all avid bass fishermen, and we let them go, and we catch smallmouth and largemouth. But these fish here are great. I've been telling people for years, crappie is the walleye of the South, and I'll put striper right between them. It's white, flaky, mild meat. And then I say, I sound like Bubba Gump. I say, you can barbecue them, you can fry them, you can broil them, you can grill them.
A million ways, and I like them everywhere. You can boil them and then put some shrimp and crab boil on them and put them, serve them on cold with ice and some sauce, you know. I better stop. You know, I tell you what, I better change it. We better start talking about catching them instead of eating them, or I'm going to be defrosting something pretty quick. Bill, we've got about couple more minutes here, but I want to make sure that people that want to get out in the winter and go fishing, that they connect with you. They know how to connect with you. Have a friend up there at Lake Texoma, striperexpress.com, been the website for eons. They can always go there, can't they, Bill?
And yes, sir.
Facebook is a good way. I like to look at the pictures that you and the guides post up there on, you know, almost a daily basis. You see what's going on there with the Facebook, right?
You bet. Striper Express Guide Service, pardon me, on Facebook.
Yeah.
And then, of course, you can call us. Our number is 903-786-4477. Just give us a holler, folks, and we'll show you some fine Texoma hospitality.
You bet. Well, there's no lake like Texoma, and I tell you, Bill, after, gosh, what, 35 years up there, probably more than that, when you was preparing to begin Striper Express years ago, lots and lots of experience fishing there. I tell you what, I'm anxious to get up there. We started talking about eating these stripers. I'm going to get up there with you soon, and I see a newspaper article in the works, and I haven't written about winter fishing up there at Texoma in a long time, but that's just about to happen, and we'll pick us a good day and then maybe get back here on the radio, and we'll give some, next time we'll give maybe some striper recipes and ways that we put these fish to good use. We are out of time, Bill. Will you get back with me here in a few weeks?
You bet. My pleasure, folks. Y'all come see us.
Have you ever been down to Houston County Lake near Crockett down in deep east Texas? Some of the best fishing for a lot of different species that I know about. Crockett's Family Resort is right there on the shores. I want you to go online to CrockettResort.com or for day-to-day fishing updates or information on their campgrounds or their cabins, 877-544-8466.
Folks, if you hunt hogs at night, I want to hook you up with Hogman Outdoors. They make some awesome night lights for rifle or bow. They also make the game alert that signals you when the hogs come into a feeder. Just a little red light that comes on, and when the light comes on, you get ready to make the shot. Visit them online, hogmanoutdoors.com. Folks, this fall hunting season, big bore air rifles are going to be legal to use in Texas for big game, deer, javelina, all kind of big game animals. I've been shooting the Texan, which is made by Air Force Air Guns, since the prototype come out. The Texan was the first production big bore air gun on the market that I'm aware of. Go online to airforceairguns.com. Check out the Texan carbine, which is a shorter model of the original Texan. I shoot one in .45 caliber with a big 350 grain bullet. and it is a hammer for hunting hogs, and I'm really looking forward to taking some deer with it this coming hunting season. Folks, that wraps us up for today's show. I want to say thanks to everyone that's been with us, all of our guests, and I want to say thanks to you for listening. I want to remind you, you can go to catfishradio.org, and there you can listen to the archive of this week's show. All this coming week, you can download the various segments. Check out my book, Kill to Grill, The Ultimate Guide to Hog Hunting, while you're there. It's a lot of information on hunting hogs and cooking wild pork that you might enjoy. Want to remind you of a couple of catfish tournaments, the Possum Kingdom Catmasters, every October. Was an awesome event this past October. You can follow them on Facebook, Possum Kingdom Catmasters, just like that, Possum Kingdom Catmasters on Facebook, and you can stay tuned in throughout the year. Now, the Yannis Catfish Classic down at Lake Fork. This year, this coming April, will be the last weekend in April. I want to remind you about that. For more information, I know a lot of you know Jerry Miller, good friend of mine. Just call Jerry. I'll give you his number for more information on it. But it's going to be the last weekend in April, and it'll be held at the Minnow Bucket, an awesome place, as all of you know. Got a clean rooms, a cafe, good food, boat ramp, pavilion. You name it there, the Minnow Bucket is an awesome place, but that's where the Yannis Catfish Classic will be held. You can call Jerry Miller at 903-850-9500. And the last thing I want to do is brag on the folks down in Yannis, the Yannis Federal Credit Union. Awesome place to get your boat financed. I think they even have home loans, you name it. Anything that you need to a bank or bank for, they also have checking there at the Yannis Federal Credit Union. But you can go online there at Yannis FC Federal Credit Union and check them out there. I see, get that. It's YannisFCU.com is actually the website. YannisFCU.com. But some great folks. Folks, I've enjoyed our show. I hope you have. Tune in next week. We're going to have some more fun talking hunting and fishing.